time for our weekly segment with Grayson Grundhaver of Sikkim365.com.
All right, here we go. Sikkim365.com, where Grayson and Craig Smoke do a long, elongated, very long podcast that they do early in the week, put it up on the site. Craig has also on the site later in the week interviews with former players. Levi Norwood was featured this week, and Grayson has other podcasts as well because he never sleeps. And including, he was going to be sleeping, but he joins us now at 3:45 here on ESPN Central Texas. Grayson.
It's a follow-up, a pretty big act.
Grayson, the game tomorrow, it seemed like all I've heard from the Waco-Baylor side is, man, we respect these guys, and they should. They've been bludgeoned like four times, although a couple of games pretty tight. They've lost four straight to TCU. I almost feel like Matt Rhule and his guys are trying to say so much nice. This is an intense, bitter rivalry. Do you feel like they know that inside that football program?
Yeah, and I think they're kind of trying to downplay it. And really, I think that's one thing that's been pretty consistent with this Baylor staff and this Baylor team. They seem to try to downplay everything and kind of block out all the noise. But, you know, just from the media sessions and even, you know, him talking to you as well, they're going to be ready for this game. I don't think this was just a normal game week. From what I can tell, this was an intense week. Coach Rhule was not happy with the performance against West Virginia. I don't think anyone was really happy with that performance, especially from the offense. And so I think this is a get-right week for the Bears, and I think that they're definitely going to come out with a different mindset than they had on Halloween night.
Do you think that Max Duggan will play?
Yeah, I do. And I think all signs are kind of pointing in that direction. And if he doesn't play, it seems like the walk-on Matthew Downing could be an option, or the transfer from Ohio State who went to Lake Travis, Matthew Baldwin, could be the other option, because Alex Delton, of course, left, and then Justin Rogers transferred. And then Michael Collins got hurt last week also. So they're running low on options, but I do think that Duggan will get the call. But he hurt his finger pretty bad. I don't know if he's going to be 100%, though.
Yeah, and he does give them not a chance. He gives them more than a chance. He was fantastic when he needed to be against Texas. Of course, TCU's defense forced all those turnovers. And, you know, again, he gives them a dual-threat type mentality. What is more important with him? What he can do passing the ball, where he hits some big throws against the Longhorns, or what he can do when he has to take it and run with it?
You know, Baylor's been pretty good against running quarterbacks this year. Brock Purdy is, I would say, as athletic, if not more athletic, than Max Duggan. So, I think they're going to be ready for a guy like that. So, really, it's going to come down to what he does through the air, in my opinion. I think TCU's going to try to establish the run game for sure, but I think they're going to have to make some throws. And last week against Oklahoma State, he couldn't do it. He turned the ball over three times and really hurt them in some key situations. So I think that's going to be a real key for TCU, is if he can, you know, convert on third down, which they've been very good at, and if he can hit on a couple deep balls to, you know, his stud receivers, whether it's Jalen Reagor or Pro Wells or Tay Barber. He's got a lot of weapons to find in that offense, but he's going to have to make throws. But and that's the area that I think Baylor is going to be more worried about, even though, you know, he's got some ability on the ground as well.
If Bravion Roy isn't ready to go, who do you think is best able to shoulder that load at nose tackle?
Yeah, that's a great question coming into this game. And I've had some time to think about it, and just kind of going off of what Coach Rhule has said and kind of the rotation that guys have played, I think it's definitely going to be a committee approach. There's no doubt about it. I think if Gabe Hall was healthy, he would be the guy, but I just don't think he's going to be back this week. It doesn't appear that way. And so I think that TJ Franklin, he's definitely an option. The true freshman. I also think that Chidi Obanaya is another option. Both of those guys have played a lot of snaps this year. Both have looked good at times, but both have also played on the outside. So it's kind of an adjustment to where they're kind of fixated on that middle, nose tackle position. But I also think you'll see James Lynch move in there at times. I think you'll see a definite committee approach, but look for TJ Franklin and TD Obanaya for their snaps to go up. And by their snaps going up on the interior, then a guy like Garmin Randolph could get some snaps on the outside, or Neandre Zuzwa as well.
I'm telling you right now, when I was doing the interview with Coach Rule and he brought up the Bravion Roy, I think it was a foot, or and the fact that he played through the pain and got the blocked field goal. He has, as much as James Lynch gets attention, as much as Clay Johnston got attention, as much as some others are getting attention, to me, he's the guy. I mean, he's the one that bottles that up. That doesn't mean others aren't doing that as well. He has been absolutely amazing. I can't remember the last time that Baylor, I know they've had others, but I don't remember, Billings was good, but yeah. Bravion Roy is incredibly disruptive. And I mean, it's like he takes up three blockers.
Yeah, he's really impressive. And I was going to bring up, have you seen a guy go from where he was at this time last year to where he is at this time this year in 1 year? I mean, I just think it's an infinite difference. He's taken a massive step. It's really, really impressive. And, you know, they can't afford to lose him for the long haul. They need him, no doubt about it. And it was interesting when Coach Rule said, you know, he hurt his foot, but he's been dealing with a quad, a foot, a bunch of different things, and he just keeps fighting through it, and he's been such a force. I hope that he's able to go, because this is a game they need him. TCU's going to want to run the football, be physical, and that's where Bravion can absolutely give team fit.
One of the things that Baylor has been getting beat on, not only the scoreboard by TCU, the sacks have been one-sided. Of course, Baylor now leads the conference in sacks. The turnovers have been one-sided. I don't even know if they've gotten a turnover in the last couple of years against TCU. How important would it be early to get that out of the way? Not so much a sack, but disruptive, but getting some sort of turnover. Because TCU, they're going to force turnovers. That would be stunning if they didn't get any. That's what they do. That's what Patterson does great with his defensive scheme.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting. It's 6-0. So you are right. In the past 2 years, the turnovers have definitely not gone in Baylor's favor. And, of course, TCU also has 13 sacks. But, you know, you brought up the fact that TCU is very good at forcing turnovers, and that's kind of their mantra. But this year, that has not been the case. They've forced 10 turnovers this year. All have been interceptions. They haven't forced a fumble. And they've lost 14 turnovers. So they have a -4 margin, which is ninth in the conference, only ahead of Kansas. Baylor's actually forced 5 more turnovers than TCU, oddly enough. And so they're not quite at that level this season, but they got guys in that secondary that can flat out make plays. And if Charlie Brewer is casual with the football or makes a bad read, those defensive backs are going to make plays. But I think the biggest part of that is that TCU hasn't been getting after the quarterback as much this season. They've been kind of lagging in that department, which is rare for them. So they haven't been forcing quite as many turnovers. So I actually expect Baylor to win the turnover margin on Saturday. I think that would be a big stat for Baylor as well.
Do you feel like because of TCU owning Baylor the last 4 years, I mean, let's not forget one was 62-22 in 2016, maybe one of the darkest days in Baylor football history with all the other outside noise going on as well in just that day. Do you feel like that allows them that there would have been any concern, and this is a 1-0 every week team? I understand the policy, the philosophy, whatever, the process. Do you think that that helps not look ahead to anybody else, like Oklahoma next week, because it's TCU?
Yeah, I do. I think you saw the look ahead last week, to be perfectly honest. I think you saw the kind of not coming out with the same kind of intensity that they had been playing with all year. And I just look at the Texas Tech game where Baylor didn't come out with the right mindset, you know, made some mistakes that they hadn't made all year, and then they regrouped and looked great against Oklahoma State. I think this is kind of a similar situation. They came out, they were flat against West Virginia, didn't convert on the plays that they should have. They were clearly, you know, They were 2 touchdowns better than West Virginia, but it didn't show up on the scoreboard. And so I think that this week they're going to be a little bit sharper. I think you'll see it early. And I think they're just going to play better. And so, yeah, I do think that they're focused on the 1-0 mindset. And This week it just happens to be a big rivalry matchup against a team that has owned them recently and done a really good job against Baylor. But I expect this one to be a little bit different. I think Baylor's going to have a good mindset and a good game plan coming into this game.
Grayson, thank you, man. Anything, Paul?
No.
Grayson Grunhaper, Sikkim365.com.